Hello, this is your host, Sierra Cornell, and welcome to Songwriters Unblocked. With new episodes released weekly, this show is an in-depth exploration of the songwriting process. I interview writers from all genres and backgrounds, and we have conversations on the ins and outs of inspiration, effective storytelling, overcoming writer's block, and more. From the nuts and bolts of songwriting theory to the emotional side of putting your hopes and fears out into the world, I go deep with each one of my guests to uncover what it means to be a songwriter. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the episode. Balancing a life of leisure with a humble dedication to his craft, Los Angeles-based musician Marino makes music that mirrors his life. Guided by authenticity, the songwriter, producer, and proven artist discovered his passion for music during his formative years in South Florida, playing and performing in bands inspired equally by both pop and punk. Marino's youth was one defined by collaboration and peer enlightenment, virtues that forged him into the leader he is today. Walking a tightrope between hip-hop, pop, and electro R&B, Marino's music today rejects modern genre cues and instead embraces the formless nature of sound itself. Hi, Marino. Welcome to Songwriters Unblocked.
Hello.
So the first question I ask everybody on this show, what was the first song you ever wrote?
Like in my life?
Or in your LA? Life. Nah,
I remember the life. One in L.A. Man, I had a band with my little brothers, and we would write a whole bunch of songs that I can't remember, but we had a band called Nut House.
That's funny.
It was the three of us. We loved Blink-182, and we wanted to be them. I'll get back to you on that one, though. I have to look into that.
Well, okay, tell us about the L.A. one.
That was with my boy Ryan and Pad, and it was called Sober. I don't remember much, but I remember being like, okay, I want to do this, like, a lot. We had a day job. We worked in a weed pen factory. And then we would write songs after. But yeah, I have a very, very fond memory of that. Shout out to my boys.
What was it about?
You only call me when you're not sober type, you know, like the, nah. It's pretty generic LA song, but, it was cool. I have a good memory of it. I have to go look for it. I'm sure someone has it.
Yeah, totally. I'm trying to compile a playlist someday of everyone's first songs, like the little kid songs and then the more grown-up songs that everyone is like, okay, this was my first real song.
Yeah, I love that.
Awesome. So you're from Florida.
Florida, yeah.
Okay. How did you get from Florida to California?
After high school... I was rapping and shooting music videos, and whenever a bigger artist would come to town, I would open up the tour, and things were moving a little bit, and then someone found me, a friend of mine in LA, found me on YouTube, and told me to come out and do sessions, and my dad was working at JetBlue at the time. During the week, he's a wedding photographer, so he'd only work weekends, and then during the week he worked at JetBlue, so I could fly for free.
Nice.
So I started flying out to LA and just doing songs for my future rap career, which then turned into meeting a bunch of producers and writers, and I overheard them talking about, you know, like, oh, this person's gonna cut this song, or this person has this song on hold, and da da da. And I was like, what are you guys talking? Like, what is that? What do you mean? And then I really learned about the writing game and the production and stuff. And I fell in love with it and decided to do that instead of spitting hot bars.
Any aspirations still of a rap career?
Yeah, there is actually rap music coming.
That's great.
I do some for TV and film and commercials and stuff. So I'll be dropping it soon. I'm a little old to be a white rapper, but it's for the bag. So
right, you know, gotta do what you gotta do. That's awesome. So what year was it when you came out here? How long have you been out here, and what have you been doing since?
I started coming out here at the end of 2014, and then I finally stayed. the beginning of 2017. So it was a couple of years of going back and forth. And every time I came, I just fell more and more in love with LA. And then, yeah, January 2017 is when I stayed. And then, yeah, started the journey.
Cool. Awesome. So you've had, it sounds like a wild ride of being out here and from where you started to where you are now. Walk us through, you know, I mean, signing your first deal, that's kind of what we were talking about when you got here, but walk us through that. What was that like?
It has been a journey. I lived a pretty, for the first year I was here, I had like a day job and was like pretty normal and was really trying to figure out LA. And then 2018 and 19 is when I really started trying to get like make it happen. And then 2020 is when it really all started, like my first real like cut. Yeah, then COVID happened.
Right.
So January 2020, my first cut came out. I was at the club for the release party, standing on the couch. I said, this is the best. It's going to be the best year of my life. And then like 2 months later or whatever, we were locked in the house. And I lived in a house that had a studio in the backyard. It was like a separate house. And we just worked every day and practiced. It wasn't really much. I wasn't doing much that was getting used. There wasn't much going on, but I practiced a lot and worked really hard. And I started DMing a lot of people on Instagram and trying to work and like set things up. And, you know, some people answered and some didn't, but the ones that answered, it all started to fall into place. And then 2021, it would be like May of 2021, I signed my first deal. And yeah, that was the early days. It was a struggle, but it's worth it.
Worth it. Totally. That's awesome. That's what we want to hear. Cool. So who was this first cut with? How did you get it? Tell us that story.
My boy Mod Son. Shout out to Mod. I opened for Mod in Florida when I was like maybe 19 or 20. We had each other on Instagram for years after that. This is like 2014. I opened up for him. And then in 2019, I shot him a DM and said, I have some beats or songs that he might like. And he answered and we started sending music back and forth. And then he started coming over and working and started playing him songs that I'd written with my boy JP. And he cut a bunch of them and they started coming out. And that's what kind of got the ball rolling, was definitely Mod. So cool. Shout out to him.
Cool. And what do you think makes for you personally, who are your best collaborators? How do you work best in a room?
I mean, we're always working with new people. I love collaboration. Obviously I work really well with my friends and I've met people that I collaborate closely with and it works out, but I always meet new people too. And sometimes it doesn't work, but a lot of the times when two writers or producers really know what they're doing, it's not hard to click and like make something dope.
Yeah, totally. It definitely helps when you got two very skilled people in the room. So from this first cut, you've gotten other cuts. You've also gotten some sync placements. Tell us about this.
So the Mod stuff was great. I had one come out, not 2020, but 2021 with Mod, and then he got Black Bear to feature on it. And that did like, I think we did like a million streams a day for the first 2 or 3 days. And that kind of got me into meetings with publishers and stuff like that. And then I went out to Nashville. I met my friend Charlotte Sands. She's amazing. I did a song with her that did really well last year. And Fame on Fire is a band, my friends from Florida. They're like in the active rock scene. So we had a song on rock radio last year. And that stuff was all great last year. And then this year, yeah, I've started to get some ads and some different stuff. It's But yeah, it's we're building, we're getting there. No hit yet, but we're on our way.
I know, that's what I'm hoping this podcast does, is it like catches everyone before the hits.
Yeah.
And then it's like, hey, remember when you were on my podcast like 3 years ago?
Yeah, we can do that. We can do the catch up episode.
Exactly. I want to do like, you know, part one, part two, part three, like Grammys.
I love that. I think that's great.
Awesome. So, you know, as you've been doing all of this, I mean, you've been out here for a while, you've done so much. What have been some of the best parts, and then what have been some of the worst parts?
I think the fact that it's not a very, there's not instant gratification, you know, it takes like months and years to really get a big win. But when you do get that big win, it feels amazing. And I think that's what we all are hooked on and chasing and after. So yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of competition, but I think it's very healthy, and there's good and bad, but it's mostly good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you just gotta sit in rooms and write songs with people. Like, that's pretty great. Awesome. So tell us a little bit more about signing your deal. What went into that? How did you meet your publisher? Tell us that story.
I started meeting with some different people, and it wasn't anything too exciting. And then my friend Anna put me in a group chat with her publisher, a gentleman named Jason Flom, who is a music industry legend. And we met at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and we clicked, and he saw what I wanted to do and really liked it. And a couple days later, I had an offer in my email, and we signed the deal. And he's the man, and I appreciate him very much.
That's great. Did things change once you signed that deal? Like, tell us how they changed.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, I've always been like a hustler and hit people in the DMs and whatnot, but I was definitely able to not only reach out and get sessions on my own, but they were able to help set me up with people they thought were cool. And they definitely opened a lot of doors, and it's a great partnership. So yeah, it's shout out to them. It's been super great.
That's cool. So when you're in a room writing with people, how do you approach things? What do you bring to sessions? Tell us about that.
If we're with an artist, I definitely like to chat for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and see where they're at, not only with their project and what the music is talking about, what the direction is, but kind of where they're at in life. And I try to figure out how I can put their complex emotions into simple words that everyone can understand. That's always been the goal. So I think it's a lot of just like understanding what they want to say and how they want to say it. And that's usually how I start out.
You know, if you're with an artist, you know, how do you say what they want to say in the best words possible? As if you're, you know, collaborating with people, what do you look for in collaborators? What do you find are the best, or I guess the most complimentary traits to you in a room? What do you think makes some of the most successful sessions in your experience?
Not overthinking it. Underthinking. Yeah. But also like figuring out what we're going to do and say, but not sit there and nitpick the lyrics and like really overthink it to where it becomes a bad song.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can overthink your way into making something that feels overthought, and it is not enjoyable to listen to. You want something that's easy on the ear and the mind, and that's always what I try to do. So if it just ruins my vibe if we're not in a flow and like knocking something out easily, it just doesn't feel right to me.
Yeah. What's one of your favorite songs that you've written?
I wrote one with Sophie that's amazing. It's not out, but it's called Homesick. That one's really special to me. I have a ton that I really, really love. You know, you write like hundreds and hundreds of songs, and then I think on my my Spotify playlist, there's maybe like 40. Right. So, I mean, I love the ones that have come out, but there's so many dope ones that just haven't made it out yet. But
the tragedy of being a songwriter.
Yeah.
All the ones that never come out.
Facts. I send them to my mom though, and she loves them. So that makes it worth it.
Yeah. Right. At least somebody gets to hear them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, so what makes the song that you wrote with Sophie so special?
I think we perfectly put how I was feeling into words. Mm-hmm. Just wrote about like being homesick and missing an older version of yourself or an older version of what your life was and wanting to go home, but the home no longer exists. So it's being homesick from...
For a home that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, there's a Portuguese word called saudade, which kind of means that in a way. So we wrote that, and I think I'm going to find someone to definitely take it one day for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the best songs like sat for years, which is crazy, and I want all of them to find a home, but sadly, some of the best
ones. What's meant to be will be, I suppose.
Exactly.
I'm finding peace with it.
Yeah, if it's meant to be, it'll be, and if it's not, you know, at least you wrote it.
Facts.
And you found some satisfaction or solace or comfort or whatever in the song when you did write it. So
facts.
Yeah, I think those are the best when you are just so perfectly able to say what you wanted to say.
Yeah, it felt really, really right.
Yeah, I wrote one with Sophie that's kind of like that too, where it just, I'll say the lyrics to myself sometimes in my head where I'm like, oh yeah, that's exactly what's happening right now.
Yep. She nails it.
Totally nails it. Sophie's the best. Cool. Okay. So, publishing deal. Tell us a little bit more about these sync placements. What have they done for you? What are your plans for sync in the future?
I really enjoy doing it. Just going in and being like, it's, you know, breaking down. I got really into watching other commercials and listening to the music and seeing how it works. But you know, as far as songwriting goes, streaming is not an effective way to make a living. So I started seeing other writers do these sync things, and I got super into it, and we got one for American Express right now that's going crazy for the US Open and for the NBA. Yeah, so I watched a lot of like Wiz Khalifa, and like, who else is a good example? Grandson. That's my dude, and he did like the Suicide Squad movie, and I saw a lot of like sports recap videos that would use his songs, and like Fort Minor, Mike Shinoda, the Linkin Park stuff. So I was like, okay. So I started making a lot of songs for like sports commercials and like basketball stuff, and so that those are now starting to like pick up and get used for different things.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's always like, it's always good to just see like immediate reward from what you're doing. Because I mean, like we just said, it can take years for somebody to cut a song. It can take years for the song to come out if you write it with an artist. Like it's so slow, but there's something about sync that's just so much more immediate. Like, okay, yes, I did something that's valuable that like people want, and it serves a purpose, and it's also going to help me live. And yeah, I think it's great. And my personal sync project feels satisfying in that way too, where it's like this has a purpose that is like much more immediate and tangible than, you know, writing songs for pitch or with an artist who may or may not ever cut the song.
I love doing it. People are haters sometimes. Some people are like, no, that's not cool, or that's not artistic enough for me. And I'm like, all right, well, I think it's great.
Yeah, I think there's a good balance. Like, I keep talking about this. Like, I love being in sessions with artists, and I love helping people put their experiences into words. And I think I'm, you know, really good at that. And there's something, you know, beautiful about being able to say exactly what, you know, you're feeling and put it in a song and let other people hear that. But there's also, it can be heavy and it can be taxing in a lot of ways to like constantly be... Yeah, like dredging up your own shit and then dealing with other people's shit. And the sync stuff is just a breath of fresh air to me, where it's like, okay, this doesn't have to be serious. This is, needs to be fun. I can do it in 2 hours and it helps me support my life.
Real.
Yeah. I love it. Awesome. Well, before we started recording, you were talking about branding as a songwriter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something I'm trying to figure out and find new ways to do. But you know, there's so much competition and so many people trying to break through. I think there's definitely got to be a way to kind of cut through all the noise and kind of stand out, you know? So I'm looking into different ways to get creative and do that. I don't know what it entails yet, but you know, I'm just trying to progress and grow as a writer and not get left behind. So I will circle back on that when I have a better answer and can figure out exactly what that means.
Who are some writers that you think have really good branding?
Writers that have good branding. Well, I mean, a lot of the writers that have their own music out, I think that probably helps a lot too. We were saying, you know, Julia Michaels and Ryan Tedder has One Republic, and you know, Mike Posner, great music artist that also writes big songs. So I think I want to try to be a little more like that and not just a writer that is a secretive guy behind the scenes, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have more of like an outward facing presence.
For sure. Yeah. So I'm going to be exploring new ways to do that. And I will keep you posted on that.
Well, is that going to be a revival of your rap project from the early days?
I think it just might. It just might. I have one that's ready to go and I have to shoot cover art for it, but I think I figured out what I want to do for it. And yeah, either drop it before the end of the year or top of the year next year. But yeah, I'm rapping my ass off nice. In the name of sports.
That's great. Can you, if you had to describe it in 3 words, what would those 3 words be?
Okay. Aggressive, hype, triumphant. Like, nice. I don't want to say epic, but it's like very like, it's like, treadmill music.
Treadmill music. Yeah. Gym. Like yeah. Power workout.
I think it could definitely be on like the beast mode or like workout playlist or whatever. And then also be in like, a trailer for a movie or a basketball recap thing or like just a lot of different stuff. It has like elements of rock, rap, and then like EDM drops. I was super inspired by like Jack U back in like 2014, whenever that came out, 13, 14. So like it's really, really cool. I'm stoked to start putting it out. I did it with my bro Code Blooded, just me and him. And yeah, I'm super, super excited for that.
Cool. That's awesome. So, I mean, you mentioned the Miley Cyrus song before we started recording. So I feel like we should talk about that.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with it. I've had it on loop for however, I think it came out like 2 weeks ago, maybe last week. I'm not sure. But yeah, it kind of touches on that, the homesick concept that I was talking about. Like, used to be young. The line, open bars lead to broken hearts. Such a crazy lyric. Yeah, and that song just, you know, sometimes I'm like, damn, like, is the world out of songs? Like, has everything been done already? Like, is it too late to do something that still hits and is like basic and like straight to the point? And I think that song showed me that it's still very possible. So yeah, shout out to Michael Pollack did it with her, and then their song, the Flowers one, is the fastest Spotify song to ever hit a billion streams.
Is it really?
Yeah,
no, I had no idea.
I think it was like 17 days.
Wow.
Something like that. Wow. I might be fucking those numbers up, but shout out to that song. And yeah, that one is something I heard recently that I absolutely loved.
Yeah. What else do you love these days?
I like the Break-Ins album a lot that came out earlier this year, I believe. Maybe last year, but the Break-Ins album is really cool and exciting and new. I really love, I like really, really, really sad music. So like, I really like Holly Humberstone. I really like Madison Beer's music a lot. I have the music taste of like a seventh grade girl, but, I really, really love
you
that.
You just want to cry in your bed.
Yeah. I love the Tate McRae album. I think that was last year.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was last year, but her album was amazing. And like, I really love like sad, dark pop. And that's really what I listen to, or I listen to like ignorant rap music.
the two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah. So
nice.
That's where I'm at with it.
What gets you about a song? Like is it the lyrics? Is it the?
I think the ability to like listen to it and then think about my own life and like have it relate is like how you really connect. So when you know when I hear a line and I'm like, ooh, like I felt that. So, you know, like, that's why when I think some artists overthink it and try to make it too specific to them. And I'm like, no one's going to think about you when they hear the song. They're going to think about themselves because that's just typically what people tend to do. So, yeah, when you can hear something that you just relate to and you want to like post it to Twitter or on your Instagram story. And like, I love lyrics. I'm like a lyric guy. So it's definitely big on lyrics.
Mm-hmm. How do you approach writing lyrics?
Sometimes it really just comes out of air, like just out of thin air. And it's just like, you know, sometimes I've been trying to like, I like putting weird words together in a way. But I write a lot in the shower and then write it on my notes when I get out, or in the Ubers on the way to the studio. I write a lot in my notes and then I'll go skim through. And sometimes I have a line that's really good, or sometimes in the conversation that you're having with someone for 30 or 45 minutes, they'll say something, they'll just say a sentence.
Totally.
And you're like, there it is. That's the song right there. So there's so many different ways, but I have a brain that never stops thinking. It's like quite a problem, but, I'm like, or I'll just be having a normal conversation with someone or like the Uber driver or whatever. And I'm like, oh, that could be a song. Like, that's good.
Yeah.
Like someone was talking about getting an X-ray yesterday at a pool party. And I was like, oh, X-ray. Like you left me broken and I need an X-ray or something. You know, like, so we were talking about that. And then I turned into a girl that dated a guy named Ray and it was her X-ray.
Oh, that's funny.
And then I was like, okay, maybe this is not, maybe this is not it. But yeah, there's inspiration everywhere.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but yeah.
I've also been reading about people jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Really?
Yeah, there's a handful of people who have survived.
Yeah,
like 30 something people. And I think there's something beautiful about the emotions you feel as you're jumping off a bridge while you're... Everyone has said that survived jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge that as soon as they jumped, they immediately regretted it. Yeah. So like, that's not meant to be like, it's not like meant to be an inspiration, but you know, there's some sort of inspiration there in those emotions.
Yeah.
So I'm always looking at interesting and different things and trying to understand how to put complex emotions into simple words.
Yeah, totally. I think there's you can write about anything and anything can be a song in so many different ways. And I think it's just, like you said, noticing what's going on in your life and being like aware enough to pick up on like all of those little things and constantly look at what other people are feeling or different stories. Or I mean, I've found song ideas in the randomest places. Like you'd never think that they would come from there. And then, you know, the next day you're writing a song about it and it like hits on something that resonates with a lot of people. And I think it's very cool.
Very real. I like to go shopping. And that honestly, when I go to like Nordstrom Rack and look through clothes and my brain just can kind of zone out and think a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just so many weird techniques and things you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. I teach songwriting lessons and anyone who listens to the podcast knows this because I feel like I talk about this all the time, but like sometimes my students are like, I don't have anything to write about today. And I'm like, well, take a minute 60 seconds and like really just notice what's going on and you'll have something to write about.
Yeah, or write about how you have nothing to write about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know. I wrote a song called Lighthouse when it had been like 2 months and I had like written things, but nothing was good. It was like I was in a deep pit of writer's block and like it was just not working. And every time I tried something, I would just stop and I'd get so frustrated. And then like one day I was like, you know what? I'm just going to write about how I can't write anything. And like song happened in, you know, a few minutes and it was cool. Awesome. So tell us more about what you're working on now, where are you at with your writing, your process, the people you're working with, everything like that.
Right now I went really hard this year. I haven't left LA once since January. So I'm at the time of the year where I kind of slow down a little bit or start to slow down. But I just did an album, the new Fame on Fire album with Eric Ron, shout out to him and them, and just really doing more sync music and my project, which is, you know, raps for sync and whatnot. But I'm also just taking kind of a little bit of a break to kind of see where I want to go next year and what's on my wish list of things to do. And yeah, I'm excited to take the holidays off and just enjoy the fruits of my labor, I guess.
You know? It sounds like you deserve it. Yeah. You need a little break.
Yeah, but there's a lot I'm excited about and a lot that there's always something exciting going on.
That's great. What's on your wish list?
Nessa Barrett, definitely would love to write a song with her or her team of people because I'm a big fan of her music. Definitely want to work with some more bands. I think the rock scene is, I feel pretty at home there. And I would love to just keep getting linked with like, oh, this might be the next, you know, whatever, and see if I, you know, connect with someone and really have a good run with them. You know, how like Dan Nigro got linked with Olivia Rodrigo and, you know, just like someone I click with, and you know, it might happen next year, it might happen in 5 years, but I'm super down to keep trying things out and finding more musical partners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's one of the coolest things about this whole game is that you never know. Like, you have no idea. And I mean, I haven't even been out here for that long, but even in like, I think it's almost been 2 years. Yeah. Even in the last 2 years, like, some of the people that I started working with when I first moved out, like some people have like fallen off the face of the earth and other people have done the craziest things that I never would have thought. It's like, wow, really? You? not that, you know, like your expectations going in and like where it starts can be so different from where it ends up. And like, I've been writing with this one artist for like years and just recently like things are like really popping off for her and it's like, wow, it's like happening. Just see it the longer you're out here and the longer, you know, and everyone says it takes time, but like part of you just kind of doesn't really believe it until you see it. And then I think it gets easier to take chances on people and to give it the time that it needs to grow because you've seen it happen before.
Yeah, I kind of feel like there's really no rhyme or reason. I think we all have these like one line quotes and stuff or advice or whatever that we think is gonna save us magically or help, you know, it helps us find peace or whatever, but there's truly just, you gotta keep doing it. You don't know who's gonna be who or what's gonna be what. And it's, I guess, part of the fun of it.
Yeah, I think it is fun. And it, you know, I think it's important to not get like, I don't know, to not take it too seriously. Like, it is a serious thing because it's your career and it's your life. And it's also, you know, like songs can be really meaningful and impactful, but at the end of the day, like it's, you know, nobody's dying.
Yeah.
So I like to remind myself
except
of that.
Except the singer of Smash Mouth died today.
Really?
The original one. Yeah.
So sometimes people do die.
Yeah.
Well, everyone dies eventually.
The all-star guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
No way.
RIP Steve.
Moment of silence for Steve. Cool. Wow. cool. So all of these things are on your wish list. Sounds like next year is going to be a good one for you. What are you looking forward to most?
I'm very excited. I'm going to buy a car and I'm going to buy a new wardrobe soon for Christmas. Those are things I'm excited about, but also just finding peace in my life and not abusing drugs and alcohol anymore and actually going to bed and having a healthy life and routine and good relationships and friendships and hopefully meet my wife out here at some point. And I live on a farm up in Shadow Hills, and it's a very peaceful life that I live now, and it's helped me creatively. And I don't know where things are going, you know, like we said, it's hard to say, but I feel like they're going in a really great direction, and I'm really, really, really grateful. And I just love working hard, so I will continue to do that as well.
That's awesome. So you said, you know, living this more peaceful, healthy life has helped you creatively. Tell us more about that, because I think people can think, oh, well, you know, I need to have experiences and live in order to
be creative. I learned how to be in a room and how to cook up and write ideas pretty, pretty fucked up. I don't know. I just have the thing where I love to get lit. And I was worried that I wouldn't be able to be creative or connect with other people or be confident enough to write without substances or being crazy or and eccentric and weird. But ever since I put that down and got help and got better, my writing's gotten better and so many more doors have opened. So I'm extremely grateful for that. I was getting very sick. So this new lifestyle is even more inspiring than the old one. And I can always tap into that when I need to. I have enough. I have enough inspiration. Enough
experiences.
Yeah, I have enough of that to last three songwriting careers. So, it's been great looking for inspiration in new places. And also, I did an EP last year for my boy 44 Blonde, who signed to Lil Aaron. We're about to put out his EP. It's called Rehab Runaway, and I wrote that with him as I was healing and getting better. And that was very, really, really helped a lot to get all of that out at a time when I needed to. So I'm super excited for that project. And, just super grateful to be healthy and here and present and not sick.
Yeah, that's awesome. I remember episode one of this podcast, my friend Audrey came on and she was talking about how all of the best painters like Van Gogh, Da Vinci, Monet, you know, I mean, what was it? Da Vinci cut off his ear. You know, people were wild, but they created their best art when they were doing well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's actually scientifically studied that, you know, you don't the periods of, you know, the downhill slopes don't produce the best art, even though we can think that because there's such a, you know, so many artists do have vices and have, periods of their life where it's not so great, but throughout history the best art has been created when they're, you know, on top of, you know, a wave.
Absolutely. I think struggling with that stuff is really hard and it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But also I think romanticizing it is super whack.
Yeah.
And it's not cool to look all fucked up and feel sick and have bad relationships with the people in your life and all for the sake of maybe thinking that you're making the best art. But easily the best stuff I've ever done was when I got sober, for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good for you. I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you're doing better and your farm is great.
Oh yeah.
It's very fun.
Yeah. It's a blast.
Yeah, you can go hang out with the horses, the goats, you know.
So peaceful. It all worked out. It just really showed me that you need to trust the timing of your life, because I put in the work to get better. And then that place opened up and, you know, I moved on to my farm and it was perfect timing. And the healing journey has been going absolutely crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for you. And, you know, I think when you're looking for those opportunities, those places where it's like, okay, time for me to disconnect a little bit, time for me to spend more time with myself or on whatever it may be that makes you feel good, those opportunities will present themselves. And
absolutely,
it's just a positive spiral.
Just learning that your career achievements do not make you don't have anything to do with your worth as a person. I have my little bro had a daughter in December, so I have a niece, and meeting her and realizing that she doesn't care. She doesn't care that, yeah, I don't have a plaque yet, or I don't have, you know, 500 million streams on a song yet. She literally doesn't know what any of that is. She just wants me to be there and present. And that really opened my eyes to a lot, because I know people that struggle to go to sleep because they're so worried about their status in their career or, you know, whatever. And, you know, you got to just let that be and really look at what's super important.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's such an important reminder that you're still a person, and there's an element of life that like is not your career, and like you need to be a human first.
Yeah. I learned all these lessons at the perfect time, and just one after the other, and it was perfect. I'm so grateful. I don't know where I'd be if I was still living my old lifestyle and being the way I was.
Yeah, totally. Well, and you know, like you said, you can always send a playlist of all the unreleased songs to your mom, and yeah, she'll think it's the best thing ever.
Yeah, I mean, it's all for the greater good, you know. Like, you just don't know what's going to be what. And I've done bad sessions with where I didn't get along with the artist or whatever, but I met the producer, and then the producer was like, yo, you should come do this with me. And then that led to meeting another artist who then took me into, you know, it's just like all for the greater good. So it's, and at the worst case, you're still practicing.
Yeah, totally. I think the bad songs are super important to write and to like live through and just let them be, because you never know what is going to come of that. Maybe the song won't do anything, but like you said, you'll meet the producer, you know, you'll make some tangential connection someday, and the music industry is so small, and like you wrote a song, okay, move on to the next one. And
yeah, I think Pharrell, I saw a video of him talking about it on TikTok, like whatever comes through you when you make a great song, you have to at least do it, so you open up the possibility for that, you know. Mm-hmm. So even if I'm not in the mood to write, I just, or whatever, like you still gotta like at least put pen to paper or put your hands on the keys and see what happens, because you just don't know, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been in so many sessions where I'm like, I kind of feel bad today.
Yeah.
Nothing's gonna come out. And then, I mean, I'm thinking of like two or three right now just off the top of my head where we actually ended up writing a great song. And then other times you go in and you feel great and you write mediocre songs, and it just, you just have to show up and write the song and see where it takes you.
Or you write a mediocre song and it comes out and does well.
Yeah, right. That's right. Weird,
'cause I did not feel great about this song. Yeah. So just more proof that you don't know what's going to be what.
Totally. Or you write a song and like, you're like, okay, I guess the artist likes it, and they end up loving it, and it's like the single.
Yeah.
And you're like, really, that one?
I mean, as long as they like it.
Yeah.
That's fine with me.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's also okay to say, you know what? No, I don't think we got anything today. Let's go get ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or something, you know. It's nothing wrong with that. Let's go on a hike.
Totally.
It's all good.
It really is. Like, I was in a writing camp a few months ago, and it was like, it was so intense, and it was for this artist, and it was like 10 hours a day for like 2 weeks straight. And like, I'd say like on day eight, we got in there. We were all like, we have literally nothing in our brains. Like, it has been so much. Like, we need to call it. And I was the one to make that call, and I'm glad I was, because I feel like I can kind of make those calls now a bit more comfortably. And the next day, wrote a great song.
Yep.
So yeah, know when to leave it, know when to, you know, just accept what it is. And like, I feel like it's been a theme, like, you never know
if you don't show. Rest in peace, Steve.
Awesome. Well, I guess, do you have anything that's really helped you, any advice, any thoughts for writers that have helped you as you've been on this journey and on this process for yourself?
DM people on Instagram. I don't know, be annoying, I guess. Be annoying, but as long as you get results, it's all good. I mean, when people ask me for advice that are new to the city, I tell them to just go to school night at Bardo, or go to We Found New Music Showcase and make friends and work with them, and you don't know who's going to be who, what's going to lead to what. Just get attached to something that's putting out music, someone or something that's putting out music, so that your writing can get out. Also, if you do something, show people you do it. Like, I post my notes app lyrics to my story all the time because I do lyrics, and people see that I do lyrics, and when they need someone for lyrics, they'll hit me up. So if you do something, show people that you do it. If you make beats, post some of your beats. If you shoot videos, show people some of your videos. Yeah. That would be my best advice.
Yeah, that's that. I feel like I needed to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know it. I know it on an intellectual level, but it's also like, so I don't know. Everyone has thoughts and stuff about social media these days. And I think it's a portfolio. It's like, you got to prove that you're a real person, that you do things, or nobody's gonna take you seriously.
Yeah, some people try to be too mysterious.
Yeah.
And nothing gets done. So just commit to the bit and
commit
to the bit and go for it and do it.
I love it. All right, well, thank you so much, Marino. You have been wonderful to talk to. This has been such good information. Where can people connect with you, listen to your music that's coming out, listen to some of your songs that you've released previously?
www.instagram.com. Marino is dead on Instagram, and I have my song link in my bio and some of my stuff posted up there, and I'm an Instagram addict. I'm addicted. I love Instagram. That's the problem. But you can say what's up on there, and I'll be there.
All right. DM Marino, everybody.
Yeah, DM me.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Another great episode with Marino. We covered a lot of ground, so go DM him on Instagram at MarinoIsDead and check out his music. Links will all be in the show notes. Also, let me know what you thought about this episode on Instagram and TikTok at songwriters_unblocked. And if you're interested in more from the podcast, sign up for our weekly newsletter, Songwriter Sundays, where you'll receive weekly insights, episode updates, songwriting prompts, and more. Link in the show notes. This is Songwriters Unblocked. Thanks for listening.